Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You know, drop a like. Let's try and get to 200 likes. That would be huge if you guys were able to do that for me and get us up to 200 likes. That would be much appreciated. So if you're in and you enjoy the show, make sure you guys drop a like button. I'm going to check where we are. Looks like I just got Johnny Mac. Johnny Mac's in here. Let me bring John up and see if I can get John up here now. John, do I have you, brother?
Yeah. Tight press box. They redid their press box. So I'm probably going to be moving around. So just warn you as I get kicked out of different areas. It's difficult to find a spot here. But preseason game one, it wasn't pretty, but big play. Patrick Johnson strip sack. Jake Elliott had obviously a bad day, but he kind of knew once they gave him a second chance, he wasn't going to miss it.
Yeah. I mean, John, what were your other takeaways? Let's start with the beginning of the game with the starters and the guys who were on the field early. What did you see from the starters? You didn't see much. Obviously, none of the offensive guys really played. Jalen, Saquon, AJ, Devontae, Goddard, Mailata, Landon Dickerson, and Cam Jurgens, and Lane Johnson all out. But from the defensive side, what did you see from the starters at the open of the game?
Yeah, and it kind of changed that because of the weather. And obviously the weather broke. We just got done talking to Nick Sirianni, and I think some of the starters might have played, at least for a series, if the weather was better during the day. And it turns out it got okay by kickoff. But the field was a little bit, off kilter, so he wasn't comfortable doing it. And it's kind of what I said on Birds 365. I thought, it doesn't make a lot of sense for the offense to play with this team, the starters. And the defense needs work, and I think that's what it came down to, and certainly Vic Fangio agrees with that. So
yeah,
a lot more of the defensive key players got to play at least a little bit, and they did a good job overall. Now, Baltimore obviously didn't play Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, all of their starters, and they might have the worst. They might have the worst backup quarterback situation in football, and you kind of saw that. I mean, Josh Johnson, which we know from the NFC Championship game, he's 38 years old. He's the backup. He's played with I can't even tell you how many different teams. He's the ultimate journeyman. And then you saw the four stringer, that poor guy comes in with 16 seconds left. They say, all right, let's try to win the game with Justin Tucker, get a decent passing play. And maybe all of a sudden he can kick a field goal to win the game. And he does the one thing you can't do in that situation. So they got a bad backup quarterback situation. And the Eagles took advantage of it. And that's part of it. And they certainly had a good day, not giving up yardage and things like that. So, anything that gives you a little bit of confidence, that's a positive. I did like what I see from Jeremiah Trotter and Nakobe Dean with the backup linebackers. I thought they showed up. I thought Nakobe played a lot better, both as a blitzer we've been talking about. he's done pretty well during the season with that. And then even in pass coverage, he was a little bit closer. Again, you know, you have to realize who's the quarterback on the other side. But I thought it was a positive step. Nolan Smith got a sack. Nick Sirianni talked about him afterwards when I asked him a question about what he liked about the game and his motor and his energy and his ability to chase people down. So I think you see all of this positive stuff, and you always like to win. If you're going to play, you might as well try to win.
Hell yeah, Johnny Mac. I couldn't agree more with that. And they did get the win. Pretty crazy ending, right? You were like, I'm like, is there drama in a preseason game right now? And there was. So pretty good ending. But John, I want to go to that linebacker position. You know, you just talked about N'Kobe Dean and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I thought both of those players were pretty good tonight. I thought I was most high on Jeremiah Trotter, but maybe that's just because that's where my focus was. Let's start with N'Kobe Dean. What did you see from him, specifically N'Kobe tonight? A lot of people are talking about him right now.
Well, he had the good blitz. I think you saw that. Most people saw that. And I have to watch it. It might not even be a blitz because I do believe that in Nolan, that was the play that Nolan got called for defensive holding. So it might have been that zone blitz where he's it looks like the linebacker's coming, but he's dropping somebody else off. So I have to check that. But it was really impressive from N'Kobe's standpoint getting through there. And I think you saw some of the blitzing ability that we've been talking about in practice. And then he had tight coverage on a couple of occasions, which has not been a strength in practice where he's dealing with guys like Kenny Gainwell and Dallas Goedert at times where, you know, he wasn't against those types of players, but to see him have some success is just going to give him a little bit more confidence. And perhaps he gets going back on the right track. You know, Devin and Zach were in there for a very short period of time, but I didn't see much from them. And especially early, the run support was a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, it wasn't good at all.
So I wouldn't close the door. I saw a couple people say, you know, Zach's out there quickly. They're treating him like a starter. You know, he's going to watch the film, and the defensive coaches are going to watch the film as they go back on a long bus ride. And, you know, N'Kobe, I think when you watch the film, you're going to say he played pretty well.
Yeah, I agree for sure. I didn't see much from Devin White or Zach Vaughn. There was a couple people in the chat before you got on here, John, criticizing those Zach Vaughn specifically, that he didn't look that great when you heard everything from practice. So, you know, you think Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has a chance to start on this team, John?
Not week one, but I do think he's coming, and he's coming quickly. And
he looks pretty good, right, John? I mean,
he looked very good.
He's further along than I thought he would be at this point.
Yeah, I think he's in the conversation to play, and at least in a rotational role where maybe you say, let's give him a couple reps here, a couple reps there, and see how he handles it. And I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if by the second half of the season he was a starting linebacker. Now, part of that is because I don't have a lot of confidence. I'm honest about that with the starting linebackers. So I think everybody's got a chance. Ben made a couple plays. He had a nice blitz, Ben Van Sumeren.
Yeah.
And he showed up in special teams, which he tends to always do. So I think they all have a chance, and that includes N'Kobe Dean and Jeremiah Trotter. So, you know, I don't expect it week one in Brazil, but he keeps getting better and better and better. And there's opportunity. I remember way back when they drafted these guys, all those fifth round picks that everybody was excited about. There was opportunity. That's what I said. There was opportunity at linebacker, opportunity at third receiver with Anaya Smith, opportunity at guard with Trevor Keegan. And that's what they have. Sometimes you don't have that opportunity. You know, tackle, if you draft a tackle, they don't have an opportunity. Right. So these guys are at positions where there will be opportunity to get more playing time.
We're going to dive deeper into the defense in a little bit, but John, let's move over to the offense for now. What stood out to you on the offense tonight? I got two guys. I'll let you go. You don't have to talk about these guys, But two guys stood out to me on offense tonight. Will Shipley and Britton Covey. Those are the two guys I have tonight. What did you see from the offense tonight?
Well, I think it was the running game in general. I think it started with Kenny Gainwell. Kenny was great.
He was great in the first two series. Yeah. I said that, John. Yeah.
And then they sat him. So he was great, and Will was great. And even in the second half, you saw Lou Nichols get some runs. You saw Ty Davis Price get some runs. Even at the end of the game, Kendall Milton was getting some runs. So there was consistent running game, which also speak to the backup offensive lineman, because everybody sat but Mekhi Becton. And those guys, and Keegan was a big part of that. Tyler Steen was a big part of that. Opening up holes and letting the running backs get going. But I was really impressed with Kenny. I was really impressed with Will Shipley. And kind of the opposite with the receivers, except Britton Covey. And I'm like, at some point, these other guys, man, they just don't get separation. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
That kid, Nate Wiggins, looks, you know, he's a first round pick. A lot of people wanted the Eagles to take him. They didn't think Quinyon Mitchell would fall to 22. So a lot of people had him going to the Eagles at 22. In the first drive, Johnny Wilson, Joseph Nada, John Ross, he was like a blanket on all three of them.
He really was. I said, I was live, John, on the air, and I said, this guy is looking, you know, Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson, I think he was the 30th overall pick this year. He was locking them down. I mean, I think he got beat a little bit later on.
Yeah, he did quarter. A little bit, but
yeah, but you I know, mean,
he's
you're
a young
right.
player,
he was,
but
he was a blanket out there for sure.
Yeah, and it was the three different guys, and it's like, Covey's the only one who gets separation. And that continued. Even Jacob Harris, who's got a crazy speed for his size, I thought, well, he's going to be able to run away from people at times, but he couldn't generate any separation. That still, to me, is everybody talks about safety because Simmons is out there and all that stuff, but if there's one position they're going to go outside the organization, I still think it's wide receiver, because I think it's really bad outside AJ and Devontae. And it's they don't seem to want to give Britton Covey a chance. Now, he took a bunch of first-team reps today as the slot receiver, and he's limited to slot, and they want a more well-rounded guy. But guess what? If you don't have one, play your best guy. And right now, Britton Covey is your best guy.
John, the other thing, though, I got to bring it up when you're talking about Britton Covey, he does get the separation. I thought that one, the bubble screen was great, but at the end of the play, you just see him he just got lit up. And I'm just like, I don't know how long he's going to be able to take these NFL hits. He is a small dude, and I don't know how long he's going to be able to do it. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons they're hesitant about keeping him in there.
Yeah, I mean, that was a problem as a rookie. He really curtailed that last year. I didn't see the hit you're talking about. I'll look at it. You know, sometimes you're.
I mean, it wasn't. It was just, you know, he got the ball. I think it was a wide receiver bubble screen, and he got close to the first down, and you know, he got hit low.
I know.
Yeah, he just flips. You know, he's just small. He's just a small dude. Well, he's a big dude hitting him. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at him, you fear for his life. I get what you're saying, but
yeah.
I was too focused on he made something of the bubble screen, and then you never make something of the bubble screen.
Yeah, it's so true.
And I'm like, he can make the first guy miss because he's a punt returner. He's used to it. And you're right. I probably didn't watch the end of the play. Maybe he did get whacked, but I know he can generate some offense. And look, I always say can't legislate injuries. He's out there. He's playing. He wants to play. He wants a bigger role. He's good at protecting himself. He's tough. When he does get hit, you saw that in his rookie season. I mean, I can't worry about that. I can't say, oh, he's too small to get hit. Yeah. If that's the case, then he shouldn't be on the team. And he certainly deserves to be on the team.
Yeah, so we'll see what they end up doing. John, let's keep it on the offense a little bit and talk quarterbacks. What did you see from the – I mean, I thought it was interesting how long Kenny Pickett played. We didn't even get to see Will Greer. What were your takeaways from the two quarterbacks that played?
Well, tonight? That's a good thing. I mean, Will's not – and I'm not picking on Will Greer. It's just he's not going to be there. So what's the value? These are right. Five reps. I want to see Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee. So I think the Eagles handled that perfectly. Kenny played the whole first half, came out the third quarter to sort of mimic that coming out of halftime that all quarterbacks have to go through if they're a starter. And then they went to Tanner McKee. So I think they did it the right way. I think they both played pretty well, but, you know, it was boring. It was vanilla. It was everything the fans said they hate about last year's offense. Now, it's the preseason, though. I mean, you didn't see the motion. You didn't see all the bunch stuff that you're going to see when things start for real. But maybe they threw one pass 15 yards down the field.
I know,
everything was it was just boring. And guys couldn't get loose. And when we talk about, you know, the Nadas of the world and the Johnny Wilsons of the world who can't generate separation, well, you're not helping them by never threatening the defense over the top. You got guys jumping routes on guys who don't have a lot of ability to generate separation on the first part. So it was kind of ugly. I think their longest pass play the night was 11 yards, which is brutal.
Brutal.
Now, again, AJ's not out there. It's not something to be concerned about. Jalen's not out there, most importantly, as the quarterback.
No, but from a viewership perspective, it's tough to watch.
Yeah, it really was tough to watch. It was really an ugly game. But I thought with all the hamstrings of all of that, I thought they both played pretty well. And I think it's pretty clear that Kenny Pickett's better than Marcus Mariota. So you've upgraded at backup quarterback. And I think it's pretty clear that the Eagles won this game because their third string quarterback was better than Baltimore's third string and fourth string quarterbacks.
Yeah. The one takeaway I would also have, and not that it means much at this point, but when that ball comes off the hand of Tanner McKee versus Kenny Pickett, it looks a lot different coming off of Tanner's hand than it does off Kenny. There's not much zip on the ball with Kenny Pickett. I don't know if it's because of the glove or the hand or whatever it is, but Tanner McKee can really rifle football. I don't see it with Kenny Pickett. I don't know if that will have any impact on, you know, who's the quarterback too. I think it's going to be Kenny Pickett, but I will say Tanner McKee looks like he can throw that football.
Tanner's 6'6", and yeah, he's got a stronger arm.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's probably got a stronger arm than Jalen Hurts, but that doesn't mean he's better than Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's probably got a stronger arm than Tom Brady. You know, that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Doesn't mean
everything. But he does, obviously, you know, and that's what you generally – when you have 6'6" quarterbacks, they can spin it. Yeah, they can spin it. And he can do that. He didn't get an opportunity to do it. So, you know, that kind of limits him as well. If you're not going to give him that opportunity, or you don't have the supporting cast to give him that opportunity. Plus, if you do see there's a lack of consistency, there are a couple throws where, and that's general with all young quarterbacks that were off a target because, you know, the mechanics aren't consistent from play to play. So
if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A good developmental quarterback, and that's what you want with your third string quarterback. And that's what he is. And that's a good position to have, but he's still got a ways to go.
Good stuff there, John. Let's talk about some rookies. I thought overall it was a great night for most of the rookies tonight, except for one guy, and it was Anaya Smith. But just run through the rookies for me. What did you think about the rookies? Jalix Hunt was getting some love in the chat. A lot of people liked what they saw from Jalix Hunt. What did you see from the rookies that got out there tonight?
Yeah, I think Quinyon you saw, and he started outside because Baltimore was in, you know, the Eagles were in, not nickel with the extra cornerback on the field, so. Their base look in the secondary. So he started outside and then he moved inside. So he played both. And that's an indication, by the way, when they get to the regular season, if they only have two cornerbacks on the field and there's no slot cornerback on the field, he's going to be on the field as the right cornerback. So I thought that's where we'd be. If we're going to get there when it turns into full time. I'd be happier, but at least you know he's going to be out there and then he'll move inside. I think you learned that tonight. Now Slade in play, so Isaiah Rogers moved over to the left side to start. So in theory, when Slade's out there, Rogers will be at the right corner. When they're in the nickel, Mitchell will be in the slot. But if they only have two on the field, I think it's going to be Slay and Mitchell. And that's probably a good thing. So he played very well, had a chance to get an interception.
Yeah, that was beautiful, though, to jump that round. I know everybody wanted him to make the interception, but that was a beautiful play by him.
Yeah. So all positive from him, which is no surprise. Yeah, Nick mentioned Jalix Hunt as well. He showed some juice as a pass rusher. And, you know, I said, maybe he's a natural, man. Maybe, you know, you can't throw that out the window. And, you know, the more pass rushers you have, the better. So I think it was all positive from him. Will Shipley was, you know, he might've been the player of the game when he contribute running the football. He caught the touchdown. He made plays on special teams, had a kickoff return. He did it all. So he might have been the player of the game. So all positive there. And then the fifth rounder. So I thought Trotter was tremendous. I thought Keegan was tremendous. And our boy, I don't know if James is there, our buddy James Carver, I'm trying to get Anaya Smith on this team. He's making it very difficult for me. He's just playing poorly right now. I was hoping maybe, you know, he was the Eli Ricks this year. Maybe he's not that good in practice and maybe he shows up in the game, but he struggled again. He did have the one good third down catch that Nick mentioned. So there was at least some positive, but I think overall wasn't good from his standpoint. But and then Dylan McMahon, man, that offensive line, second, third team, they dominated. I mean, Gainwell ran the ball well. Shipley ran the ball well. Lou Nichols ran the ball well. Everybody. Ty Davis Price ran the ball well. Kendall Milton ran the ball well. When you have that consistency, you know, I talk about Kenny all the time. He's the most underrated player on this team. But when you have that consistency for everybody, you know it then shifts to, all right, the offensive line is moving people. So I think they did a good job. And Dylan was a big part of it. And I think Johnny's I don't think he played well. But I don't think he played poorly either. And that's the player he is. He's a big 6'6" guy who's not the fastest guy in the world. So he's not going to be a separation guy. He's going to be the contested catch, red zone, that type of guy. And there just wasn't those opportunities today.
Yeah, I agree. I thought good breakdown there on the rookies. I thought they all looked pretty good. The one, you know, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was the best for me. You mentioned, you know, Will Shipley. I thought he looked great out there tonight. But, you know, we're going to see. I think they all have a, you know, John, I wanted to ask you, you brought him up already, but I didn't see anything from him. Maybe it was just because I missed it or I wasn't focused on him. You said Trevor Keegan was tremendous. What did you see from him tonight?
He was, you know, when you see those early Kenny Gainwell runs and the early Shipley runs that broke a little bit, and most of Kenny's did. He only had four, but it was four for like 23, I think. So it was almost 6 yards a carry. It was, you know, Keegan was a big part of it. He was opening up some holes. So, and it was obvious getting the overhead view. I thought, you know, it's tough to judge offensive linemen in the moment, but I thought it was pretty clear that he played a pretty good game.
Yeah, pretty good stuff there from him. John, who are your biggest losers of the game tonight that you thought?
I would have said Jake, rarely. You never talk about
yeah,
Jake.
Well, yeah, that's, obviously, you know what? Let's talk about him, though, real quick. I thought that was interesting, John.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not concerned about it, but I mean,
no, I'm not either. But he missed a field goal and he missed a point after, and it's very unlike Jake Elliott to do that. I guess he's got a little bit more rust than usual.
Yeah, and he hit the upright again on the 50-yarder, and then they gave him the ball right back, and he knew he was going to make the 49-yarder, and he did. He'll be fine. But I was just saying, for in a ecosystem of one preseason game, obviously he wasn't having a good game until he hits the game winner late. I thought the third down offense was terrible all night. And that's because they couldn't throw a third down offense, if I said that correctly. They couldn't convert a third down. I think they started 1 of 6 or 1 of 7. And they didn't start clicking until that big 17-play drive when McKee was out there, and they converted like 3 third downs. But overall, they were just really poor. And I'm thinking to myself, look, as you pointed out, I mean, Jalen's not out there. AJ's not out there. Devontae's not out there. Dallas isn't out there. Saquon's not out there. The four offensive linemen aren't out there. So it's nothing to be worried about. But, you know, you just see the expectations that are going to be on Kellen Moore. Like, you know, you can't go 1 for 6. If those guys are out there on third down, especially when you finish third in the NFL in third down offense with an offense that everybody thought was terrible. The expectations of this team offensively, I'm concerned about them. And I'm concerned about them because I don't think they're realistic, and I don't think people understand that this team collapsed under the weight of expectations last year. So to think if they won't do it again, they might.
Yeah, we'll be. It'll be interesting to follow it all year long, John. I'm going to end it with you here soon. We'll get a couple more questions here. I got a super chat, which might be the most important question. I'll get to that in a second. But John, any other players that stood out to you? A lot of people talking about, you know, safety Tristan McCollum. I thought he looked pretty good tonight.
Yeah, he looked. Tyler Hall.
I think he might have been on the loser list. And then I also want to talk to you about the right guard position. I know you didn't see much from the starters, but it went Becton and then it went Steen. I'm not sure if we learned anything more about what that how that position might break out.
No, I don't think we'll know more. Obviously, you know, Becton is the starter now, even though Nick is not going to admit it. Now Tyler Steen has to chase him down. And he didn't play much. He just started the game, played a little bit, and then Tyler Steen came and played the rest of the first half. And I thought he played well. As I said, they were running the football really well, and they were pass protecting pretty well as well. So I think the whole group played pretty well, and that includes Tyler Steen. He did have a holding call, and he did seem to be laboring at times with the ankle. So I think he's still fighting through that as well. But I think it's pretty clear that Mekhi Becton has taken the lead in that battle.
Yeah, I would agree with that. John, let's talk about those other two guys, Tristan McCollum and Tyler Hall. What did you see from those guys tonight?
Well, Tristan, yeah, he was very physical. I think you saw him really sticking his nose into things when it came to tackling, and you can see some of the athleticism he brings to the table. So I thought it was positive for him. And Hall had that big missed tackle, really bad, in the open field. So I'm sure everybody saw that. That gave up a first down. Really helped Baltimore tie the game when they were looking just awful offensively. And that gave them a big conversion. So, probably not a positive day for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. John, any other takeaways, any other key things that we didn't talk about that you took from this game?
The tush push, doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter who, you know, there's no
Jalen. It was ugly, but they did it.
Yeah, there's no Jalen. There's no Jason. They're doing it once with Kenny Pickett. They did it once with Tanner McKee. That's still going to be a big part of things. And it's only going to get better, obviously, when Jalen's out there and the key offensive linemen are out there. So that's not going anywhere.
Good stuff, Johnny Mac. Thanks for being here. One super chat, John. We got Brian Fleming checks in. He says, Johnny Mac, where are you getting the crab cakes? John, are they on the agenda?
No, it's too late now. You know, we were all focused on if the potentially they canceled the game because the early weather forecast was pretty miserable.
Yeah.
And it cleared up again. It was sunny at kickoff. So that never materialized. So yeah, everybody's dead at this point. It's just about getting home. No crab cakes for Johnny Mac today. I did have crab dip here at close. They didn't have crab cakes, so I got close.
All right, I'll take a crab dip. I mean, that's a fair compromise for not leaving.
And it wasn't your typical crab dip either, because there was a lot of crab in it. So
okay, so it was an actual crab dip. It wasn't, you know, crab natural flavoring.
Yeah. No, it was real crab. So.
All right, that's good stuff. John, on your way out the door, I want one winner and I want one loser tip from the game today.
Well, the winner, I got to go with Will Shipley, as I said. He's got to be my player of the game. Just doing it in all three phases, running, receiving, special teams.
He looked great. He looked really
good.
Yeah,
I thought Kenny was the best player, but he was out there for a very short period. And Will did more. He played more. He did more on different teams. So I go Will Shipley. As far as poor, that third down offense, I think, was really bad today. And like I said, started 1 of 6 or 1 of 7 in the first half. And, yeah, it was ugly. And I think Baltimore was 0 for 5, so it was ugly. It was ugly football in the first half.
Yeah, I'm sorry. How about a player, though, John? How about a player on the negative side?
Player on the negative side, I would say Zach Bond early did not look good in the run game.
One other guy, John, Bryce Huff, he didn't show up. He was only out there for a series. But
yeah, he was only out there for a series. But, you know, yeah, he didn't do anything. But when he was out there, you know, he wasn't making big mistakes. He just wasn't making plays. There were some mistakes in gap control with Zach that I think were pretty obvious.
Yeah, right. That are out there. All right, John. Thank you for checking in, brother. Who are you riding home with? I know you got the ride home with the boys.
Jeffrey Kerr, friend of the show. Ed Kratz, my partner, and Martin Frank Martin.
Oh, nice.
Maybe he'll turn into Frank Martin on the way.
I didn't know who the fourth was. So make sure you send my regards to all of them, all friends of the show, all two of those guys we talked to this week. So have a great ride home. Hopefully you guys can, break down the game as much as you possibly can.
We don't want to talk about this game.
And maybe take some crab dip to go, Johnny Mac. Thanks for checking in tonight, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, John. There's Johnny Mac joining us on nighttime edition here of the show. Great stuff from John McMullen. I love talking to Johnny Mac about football. I really do. I think he does a tremendous job covering this football team. I think he's tremendous in his how he analyzes a game. I think he's fair. I think he's objective, and he makes a whole lot of sense when he talks about the game. So I absolutely love talking to John McMullen about football. Great show tonight, everybody. Can we get the 200 likes? I mean, we have like 550 people watching, and we can't even bust 200 likes. Come on, man. Can we get some love on the channel? Can we get 200 likes on the show tonight? Where are my loyal people that are here every day? You guys got to help me get this sucker up to 200 likes. I can't end the show until we're at 200 likes. We have 185. I don't think I can end the show until I get 200 likes. So there's 188. Come on, boys. Come on, girls. Let's get us up to 200 likes. Overall, guys, good game tonight. Eagles got the win, which, hey, when you play a game like John McMullen said, you want to win, right? I mean, even if you don't care, you want to win. I mean, that's life. That's part of being competitive in life is wanting to win no matter what you're in, no matter who you're playing against. You want to win. I want to win in everything I do in life. I would imagine every one of you wants to win. We want our football team to win, and we got the win tonight. So overall, good stuff. I thought John McMullen brought great points, great breakdown, 202 likes. There you go, man. Thank you all so much. The support of the channel this week has been tremendous. I can't thank you all enough for being here, for supporting, for spending time. Time is finite, everybody. And when you spend it here with me, I can't thank you enough. I wish I could quantify it, how much I appreciate the support. I spend a lot of time working on this channel and pouring everything into it. And when you guys do it, it means the absolute world to me. So thank you guys so much for being here tonight. I thought we had a fantastic day of content. Before I get out of here, I do have to do one thing on the back end in production so that I can get the clip of Johnny Mac ready to fire on the channel. So if you missed John's full interview, John will be on the full interview will be on the channel tonight. So looking forward to getting that posted up for you guys so you can see the full Johnny Mac interview. And that's going to get posted on the channel tonight, as I mentioned. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Make sure you guys hit that like button on the way out. I think we busted well over 200, up to 211, man. You guys are the absolute best. So thank you guys for doing that. I'm going to run a commercial break on the way out, and then we will catch you all. By the way, no practice tomorrow for the Eagles, but Sunday they are on at NovaCare Complex. So we will be live again Sunday, and then next week, obviously, they travel to New England for the joint practice and for the preseason game. So thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. Appreciate all of you guys. Twiz, Forrest, appreciate you, Forrest. Eduardo Reza's in here. Appreciate you, Eduardo. Bang Bang Philadelphia, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for being here. Daz, appreciate you. Appreciate your support of N'Kobe Dean. Good job by you. El Yepa. Stratus is in here. SMD Eagles. I think I mentioned you. Twiz the Jigga. Ricky Hanks. Spike 23. Spike, thanks for being here, brother. Brian Fleming. Bruce Banner. Appreciate all you guys, man. You guys are the absolute best. Appreciate everybody. Hit that like button. We'll catch you on Sunday on Jacob Sports.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.